going through Facebook and found us on Facebook. And if that's the case, we want to welcome you here tonight. And we hope that you're blessed by our service. We're doing online services on Wednesday night right now. To the rest of you, all of our members, all of those that know us and are friends with us on Facebook or you're watching us on YouTube, we say welcome. I'm over here on the keyboard tonight. Been a while since I've been over here. We've had some other musicians coming along, and I've kind of moved out of the music, and that's just fine with me. I'm enjoying that, but I felt led to maybe bring you a song tonight before we get into the Word of God, a song that's been on my heart for a little while, actually. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask God to be with us this evening. I know that many people are dealing with sickness right now, and we're just going to come against that in the name of Jesus. We're going to ask for healing. Many people are just weary. I understand that. We're in a very perilous times that Paul described. We are in those, and they are testing people. But God is bigger than every problem. So we're going to pray and ask God to encourage you tonight and be with you there in your homes as you watch. We're just going to go to the Lord right now. And if you have a prayer request, please feel free to put it on the comment section if you're on Facebook. And you'll have a lot of other people praying with you, not only tonight, but others as they watch it. Maybe in the days to come, they'll be praying with you as well. Lord, we thank you tonight, Jesus, that we know you are our Father. And Lord, we come to you tonight as your children. We ask you, Lord, first of all, we want to ask you for your strength, Lord, for those that may be weak tonight, and encourage those that are discouraged. And God, help us, we pray, as we walk through these times, that you'll give us wisdom and understanding. I pray, Lord, for healing. I know that there are those that are sick tonight and need a healing in their body. And by the authority of your word, we claim healing in their bodies. We bind sickness and we loose your power to move, deliver, set them free. God, we pray that you'll bless our time together tonight. Help us to be a blessing to all of those who watch or listen to this, Lord, tonight and in the future. I ask you to speak to us in your word, and we'll give you all the glory. We give you all the praise, Lord, for you are worthy of all of our praise, all of our praise. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Why don't you just raise your hands out there right now and begin to worship the Lord with me. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. And I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be hailed in sin's dead sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. Jesus than worldwide fame. Don't you sing that with me? Worship the Lord out there. Is that your prayer tonight? I believe it is. More than ever before, I am so aware of just how little this world means and how little it holds for us. And every day that passes, I'm more and more excited about heaven. Amen. I feel like I'm sure that's the way you feel as well. Go with me, if you would, tonight to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to chapter 10. And again, thank you for joining us tonight. I pray that was a blessing to you. And if not, hopefully the Word of God will bless you. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. I feel better anyway. Look at verse 38, Luke 10. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him, this is Jesus, received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. It's interesting to me that this passage of Scripture, this particular account, immediately follows, it's immediately on the heels of what we call the parable of the Good Samaritan. You'll read that in the earlier verses. In fact, it flows right from the Good Samaritan into this story of the house of Mary and Martha, her sister. And so, I want to start out by saying that Jesus in this story. Now, there's a reason why the story of Martha's house and Mary's house, there's a reason why this is in the Bible. I don't believe any scripture's there for no reason. I think it's there for us to learn something from. And so Jesus is not in this story being critical of serving. Let's start there. He's not denouncing or rebuking the fact that Martha was serving. That's not the point. Because in the parable of the Good Samaritan, you remember that the whole point of the Good Samaritan was somebody asked Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus goes into this story about this man who's traveling and he's overtaken by thieves and beaten and left beside the road for dead. He's there bleeding and dying and wounded. And then Jesus goes in to takes us through the narrative of the three passersby. Two religious people who just simply look on his situation and go on, and then here comes the Samaritan. And the Samaritan looks on the man, but takes pity and has compassion and goes to the man and tends to his needs. Now, notice that his needs are completely physical needs. We do not read that the Samaritan ministers to this poor man who's been beaten in any other way than physically. He pours in the oil. He pours in the wine to his physical wounds. He tends to his physical body. He wraps up his physical body. He puts his physical body on his physical beast and takes him down the road to a literal sticks, mortar, stone inn. And there in that physical inn, he finds somebody to care and to complete the care of this poor man who had been beaten and left for dead. In fact, Jesus sums it up by saying, now, which of these were his neighbor? And they say, well, the one who took care of him, the one who showed him kindness, the one who ministered to his needs. All of that was physical ministry. The Samaritan ministered to the man's physical needs. Jesus is not now going to Mary's house and Martha's house and condemning serving people. That's not what the story is for. So if it's not about that, then what is it about? Well, I believe this. I believe that this house visitation, and it's a wonderful story, and thank the Lord that it's there, but I believe that this house visitation is the perfect setting to teach the crucial ministry that is entailed in the kingdom of God. The crucial ministry and the crucial worship that is entailed in the kingdom of God. Think about it. In Martha's house at this moment sits God and man encapsulated in one form. When Jesus went into their house and Jesus sat down, there in their house was God and man. Both deity and humanity right there in the house. And Jesus recognizes this teaching opportunity and he sees it and recognizes it and seizes upon it and begins to teach. He allows this to be an opportunity of teaching. Now let me say this, church, I'll just say it that way, church. For lack of a better term right now, for what I'm trying to get across, we'll say church. Church requires two parts. In those two parts are the practical and the spiritual. You cannot have just one or the other. You must have both. The temporal and the eternal. Think about that. This church, when I say this church, you don't know what I'm talking about until I go a little further. Am I talking about the people or am I talking about the building? And of course, we know the church is the body of Christ and we understand that. But we also use the term church to refer to the church building, the church house, the physical structure. And that, to be sure, that is a very vital part of what we do and kind of who we are, the church. So the roof, think about the roof. The roof, we had to have a new roof put on this building, I don't know, a year or two, maybe 3 years ago now. We had hail damage and our insurance paid, and we had a new roof put on. Had we not had the new roof put on, all that hail damage would have at some point given way to leakage, and we would have had a structural damage because the water would have made its way in. The roof would not have done what the roof is there to do, and so we had to tend to that problem. On the roof, we have carpet that in this building. Thank God for carpet that we, every once in a while, periodically, we have people come in and clean the carpet. Every week, we have Sister Michelle comes in and vacuums the carpet, and we have these chairs that she cleans, and we have all of these items that she dusts and cleans and wipes and all these things. This is all part of the temporal part of the church. We have walls that every once in a while we have to paint. We have a furnace and we have air conditioners that we have to change filters in. We have outside facilities where we have to tend to the pavement in the parking lot and every once in a while have it sealed and have stripes painted on it. And we have shrubs and we have landscaping that we have to pull the weeds and water all the shrubs and the flowers. And then we have other things. Let's go a little bit further. We have in this building, we have drums and we have guitars and we have keyboards and we have computers and we have sound equipment and media equipment. And right now we're coming to you live because we have live streaming equipment, and thank God for that. But can I just tell you, all of those things that I just mentioned are a vital part of who we are and what we do. But that is the physical part. It's the temporal part, and we need that. We do need that. We have to take care of those things. Had we not fixed the roof, well, the building would have caved in. If we don't take care of the carpets, it's eventually going to tear up on us. If we don't take care of these instruments and tend to them properly, then things go wrong and they will tear up. And so the temporal part of the church has to be tended to. Jesus is not saying to us that we should not tend to those temporal things or the physical part of the kingdom of God. They are very much a part of what we do. That's not Jesus' point at all. We need both. We do need both. I remember back years ago when we were just getting ready to build our new building that we added on to the old structure. Brother Axum was still with us then. He was the pastor emeritus, and we went to the bank to try to secure the loan that we needed to build. We wanted to buy this property, and we had all these plans, and thank God they all came to fruition eventually. But Brother Axum went to the bank with us, and I'll never forget as we sat there in the bank, and Brother Axum had pastored here for 34 years, been a very vital personality in this community, well known. The church has been here, good name, always paid our debts, always paid our bills. And so we sat there in the bank conference room with the president, the vice president, and the loan officers, and there sits Brother Axum and myself and our trustees, and they start quizzing us and prodding us and asking us questions and digging into all of these things. I could tell, if you knew Brother Axum, he was the nicest man in the world, but you could rub him the wrong way, and he started getting rubbed the wrong way, and I could tell it was bothering him that they were asking all of these questions that he thought really wasn't really any of their business. And he huffed a little bit, and he said, well, you know what, one of these days, and it won't be very long, you guys can have all that, and you and the Antichrist can have it all. He said, you and the Antichrist can have it all. And I looked over at the bank president and the loan officers, and I thought, oh Lord, help us here, because I don't know what they're going to do now. So I think that might have been the last meeting he came to with us at the bank. But we did eventually, we got our money and we got our loan. But he was ready. He just told them, one of these days it's going to be yours and the Antichrist anyway, so you can just have it all. What was he saying? He's saying, you know, that's all just temporary stuff. And one of these days, the rapture is going to take place, and all of these things that I've mentioned already, the roof, the carpet, the instruments, the computers, all of these things that are temporary, the light bulbs, the furnace, the filters, one of these days we're leaving it all behind, and this roof someday, this building is either going to cave in or it's going to burn to the ground, and everything that we're tending to, someday it's just going to dilapidate and fall in. It's all temporal. So Jesus is saying, yes, you do need to tend to these things, but he says to Martha, there is something more vital, something more important. Jesus is not talking here about not taking care of the temporal. He's simply establishing priorities. He's simply teaching here priorities. The lesson is about priority. I've not had very many visions in my life, but I have had a couple. And years ago, the Lord gave me a vision, and it's not real deep or real spiritual, but he showed me, and the vision came in two parts. The first part was I was observing in the crowd. I was in the crowd of a dinner. It was a kind of a fancy event, and I soon understood that it was an anniversary dinner for a couple. They were in their middle ages, probably the age I am now, and they were sitting there at this table, and at the table was a beautiful cake and beautiful food and all the beautiful decorations, and all the guests were there at this beautiful event, sitting at their tables. And then the Lord showed me over to the side where all the children, and there were a few of them, a handful of children, and they were grown children. And here sits the mother and the father, the husband and the wife, and they're waiting for the ceremony to begin, and they're waiting for the cake to be cut and the food to be served and the guests to be greeted. And over to the side, I see the children of the couple. And they're over there just bickering. They're arguing over who's going to cut the cake and who's going to serve the food and who gets to give the speech and who's going to say the blessing and all these things that should have already been worked out. Now they're over there fussing and bickering with one another. And what should have been taking place is honoring the father and the mother was not taking place. And the guests, you could see them getting kind of nervous in their seats and wondering what's taking place while the children fought. And then the Lord took me to another setting, and that was, I was on a ship, and it seemed to be a kind of a cruise type ship, a leisure ship, not an army ship or anything like that, but not a battleship, but kind of a leisure ship. And I was on the deck with many other people, and out in the water was a person who had fallen overboard, and they were reaching out and crying out for help. They were drowning, going beneath the water and bouncing up, and every time they would come up, they were crying for help. And I looked over, and here's all of these people that are grabbing for the same life preserver, and they're fighting over who gets to throw the life preserver out to help the person, and they're pushing one another and shoving one another, and they're bickering over who gets to throw the life preserver out. I didn't understand exactly what was taking place, but the Lord finally got it through my head, and he said, this is what's happening many times in the kingdom, is people are bickering and fighting over the minutiae of things that, yes, they are ministerial things, but they are things that are temporal, and my people need to understand that my house, my kingdom, must have order. It must have order. There must be some organization. Now, I've told you earlier that it's really, there's two parts. There's the practical and there's the spiritual. If you only key in on the practical, you will never have revival. You might have a good crowd, but they won't be saved. They'll never learn. They'll never be equipped. If you only have the temporal, you might have a nice building, a nice parking lot, nice choir, nice music. If you only key in on the temporal, you can also not only key in on the spiritual, because you can be a great preacher and you can have a word every time you come to the pulpit, and you can be a visionary, and the people can get with you and amen you and shout with you, and you can have the best prayer meetings and the best shout down services and people running the aisles. You can even have miracles taking place in your service. But if you do not tend to the physical aspect of the kingdom of God, then that one winged bird will not fly. Because you will get to a point where all the resources that you need, though they be temporal, they are resources that we need to communicate the message, to reach to more people, to keep doing what we're doing. You can't shout the aisles if the aisles don't exist. you can't get fed over a pulpit if the pulpit disappears. You with me? You know what I'm talking about. And so we need, yes, we need the Spirit. Yes, we need to pray. Yes, we need miracles and signs and wonders and the gifts of the Spirit and praying for the sick and seeing miracles take place and healings take place and people receiving the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus, repenting of their sins and lives turned around and the supernatural taking place. We need all of that. We desire all of that. It's God's will to do all of that. But we cannot just key in on that and not take care of the other. Now, where am I going with all of this? I didn't come just to tell you that the kingdom of God has to have two wings. You've heard me say that before. This lesson that Jesus gives us here about Mary and Martha, the lesson is about priority. In that room sits Jesus, God and man. Think about that. God and man. What have I been talking about tonight? I've been talking about the spiritual and the natural. there in that room is the spiritual and the natural incorporated in the body of Jesus. And we see, what we see play out there in that house is what needs to take place, I believe, what needs to take place in the kingdom work. The priority is worship. Martha comes to Jesus. Now think about this. Martha's been working, and it's her house. I don't know if it's Mary's house, but the Bible says it's Martha's house. And she's been preparing. She's baking, she's cooking, she's cleaning. She's you know, how we do when guests are coming over. She's getting the best dishes out and the service ware and all the things. She's cleaned up, she's tidied up. Jesus and his disciples are coming over. At least 13 men are coming to eat. That takes some work. And so she's readying the natural, the temporal, to minister to temporal needs. Your stomach is temporal, but it sure does need fed. Amen. Your body is temporal, but it sure does wear out. You need somebody to minister to that, to give you nourishment and strength and water and food, all those things. Jesus needed that. He was man. And so he comes into the house, and Martha's been doing all of these things, cooking, and she's got her apron on, she's got flour all over her face, she's sweating, she's tired, she's weary, she's exasperated. The men come in, they just sit down, they're not doing anything, they're not helping out. She's coming in there and serving them and serving them and serving them. She thinks, well, at least I've got Mary here to help me, and she looks around pretty soon, and there's Mary just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it rubs her the wrong way. And she goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, she goes to tattletale on her sister. Jesus, do you not care? I'm doing all the work and Mary's not doing anything. Now, she's wrong there. She does say, well, she's leaving me to do all the work. Let's see how she says it here. She says, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So bid her that she come, that she help me. She's left me to serve alone. Left me to serve alone. Alone. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, but Martha's cumbered. That word cumbered, it really means distracted. She's distracted. Get a hold of that. Cumbered, distracted. Is she doing anything wrong? No. Jesus does not condemn her for serving. He simply redirects her to something that is more important. Here's my point. In the church, in the kingdom work, we need all of these temporal things that I just said. But if we have all of these things well oiled and well maintained and everything's going on and looks good and it's working properly, but we do not worship God, then it is all for nothing. And that is what Jesus is establishing when he says to Martha, you are cumbered about much serving. You're distracted. You are worn out. You are tired. He says, but look, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying there is something that if you don't have this, all of the rest doesn't mean anything. All of our preparations for teaching, all of our preparations for preaching, all of our all the work that we do on the building, all of the practices and rehearsals that we do, it means absolutely nothing if we don't have that one needful thing, and that is worship. Mary understood that when Jesus is in the house, you worship. You sit at his feet and you glean and you show honor and you show respect. So I spend a lot of time with our leadership team and a lot of time with our ministry team teaching and reminding them. I want you to be a good drummer. I do. Practice, learn, Take lessons, whatever. I want you to be a good bass player. I want you to be a good guitarist. I want you to be the best keyboard player you can be. I want you to sound good when you sing. Learn the parts. Listen to the songs. Brother, Sister Barrow do a great job of leading our music department. I want our children's department to be the best in the world. That's the way I feel about it as the pastor. I want them to be well organized and structured and caring and loving. I want to have the best youth leader and a youth pastor and his wife. I want all of that. I want all of those people doing great jobs. But don't practice the drums and the keyboard and the guitar just so you can sound technically good and miss the whole point, which is we are here to worship. In fact, I don't even like to call people up to the platform. I don't even like to promote them to platform ministry if they're not first worshipers in the pews. Because you can backslide playing a keyboard and playing a guitar. You can backslide teaching a Sunday school class. You can backslide running sound. If you're not worshiping, so I'm looking around every once in a while, and I have a little more availability to do so now that I'm not tied down to the keyboard myself. But I'm looking around every once in a while. If you ever see me looking around during church and you think, is he looking at me? I might be. I might be looking up there in the sound booth to make sure whoever's running sound isn't just running sound, that they're clapping and they're worshiping. Because the most important thing that we will do in this building ever is not run sound and not run live stream and not play music. The most important thing we will ever do in this building is to fall at the feet of Almighty God and worship Him. And when it's time to worship, it's not time to practice and it's not time to rehearse. When it's time to worship, then it's time to fall and worship God. Amen. I don't want my sound people backsliding. I don't want my live stream people backsliding. I don't want my musicians backsliding, playing music as though they're hired help. No, no, no. We're here to worship God. And Jesus was establishing that. Martha, thank you for all that you've done. You're cumbered, but you're distracted from the one thing that is really needful. Right now, I would rather you lay down the trays of cookies and take your apron off and sit down right here beside Mary and for the next few moments, just worship. Because the best thing you can do when Jesus is in the house is worship. Amen. Amen. And don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. That is the priority that Jesus is establishing here. Serve, but worship. Serve. He is not negating the need for service. He is emphasizing the importance of worship. Our service should be as unto the Lord. In other words, it should be taken seriously, but it should not be the source of worry. When he says to Martha, Martha, you're distracted about many things and troubled. That word troubled means you're worried. You've allowed your service to become a burden and you're worried about it. I don't like to see the people that are working in the church get so burn out that they don't even know what to do. They have no life. They have no worship. We can do that. We can burden people to the point that they're just like Martha. They're just cumbered. They're distracted and they're worried about everything. Thank God for people that'll serve. But hear me. Serve as unto the Lord. Everything I'm doing is for the Lord. And I'm putting God first. Do it as unto the Lord. Take it serious, but don't get stressed and become worried. Let me give you a couple scriptures and I'll close. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, and God hath set some in the church. I love this scripture. God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings. And I bet a lot of you didn't know the next one is there. We've got apostles, 1 Corinthians 12:28. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing. Watch this. I love it. Helps. Helps. God hath set some in the church that are helps. That is a gift. That is a calling. That is a ministry. Just helping. Governments, diversities of tongues. He goes on. But I love right there. He kind of tucks that in the middle. Paul puts it in there. Helps. What is helps? What is helps? What does that mean?
means cooking. It means cleaning. It means cutting little handouts out for kids. It means putting candy in a bag for children. It means, what can I do? What needs done? It means pulling weeds. Helps, just coming alongside and saying, what can I do? What needs to be done? I want to do my part. I want to serve. I don't want to just show up at church time, throw my hands up in the air, and then go home when it's all said and done. But what can I do to help? Church, we are in the last days, and we've got to get this thing across the finish line, and we've got to win as many souls as we can. We need all hands on deck. We need every person in the church to show up and to help. Amen. Don't just throw your tithes in the offering and say, I'm done. Don't just throw your money in the offering plate and say, well, I've done my part. No, no, no. That's another lesson altogether. But there's a ministry of helps. Maybe you can't do as much as you used to do, but you can do something. That's a good scripture. Last one, Colossians 3, 23. Paul says, whatever you do, you say, well, okay, so I'm gonna come and ask, what can I do to help? I'm gonna tell you that's every pastor's fantasy phone call. When the phone rings, it's usually, Pastor, I need this, I need help, I need you to do this, and we're all right with that. That's part of what we're here to do. But I'm gonna tell you right now what makes our day is when somebody calls and says, hey, Pastor, I've got about 5 hours this week. I could bless somebody. I got an hour. Well, is there anything that needs done? I want to tell you, whenever somebody says, can I do something? And I say, oh, can you clean the baptistry? And Brother Trace Morrow says, oh, Pastor Hawkins, I'll clean the baptistry. What a blessing that is. Denver, can you pull the weeds? Oh, yeah, I'll pull the weeds. Make sure the weeds get pulled. Brother Ed, can you help us out with the light bulbs? And yes, I'm there to help you with Ed Bunch. Sorry, I'm there to help you with the light bulbs. We got more than one Ed in the church. Whatever you need, Brother Morrow, can you do that? Yes, whatever, Pastor, whatever I can do to help. I could go through name after name. I don't have time to go through all the names. But when people just show up and say, "What can I do to be a blessing? What can I do?" That's one of the ministries. It's the ministry of helps. You do serve. Jesus is not saying don't serve. He's saying keep your priorities straight. First comes worship. And if you're not a worshiper, you will not do any of these things as unto the Lord. You'll do it as unto yourself, or you'll do it as unto the pastor, or you'll do it as unto the church. And that's why people get burned out, because they're doing it in the wrong motivation. Do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You may or may not ever be rewarded on this side of heaven, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to be rewarded someday. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. I almost said tuning in, but that sounds like the old radio broadcast. But thanks for joining us tonight. We've enjoyed being with you, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. Our plan right now, Turning Point, is to have live service in person here Sunday. 10 o'clock is A group. 1:30 is B group. We need you to really adhere to your groups, unless you've got a special arrangement not to, or you've been asked to switch groups. We're going to try to get a service in here in the middle of holiday season, in the middle of cases kind of rising, and so I want to make this one caveat here. I want to remind you that we know enough about this virus now to know that there are certain people who are more highly susceptible. If you get it, you might end up in the hospital. That's what we're trying to do right now, is try to ease up the load on our healthcare workers, our hospitals. And so if you're in that age group, I would ask you, just consider. I'm not telling anybody not to come to church, but you might consider observing online. If you have underlying health issues, obviously, if you've been exposed to somebody with the virus, don't come to church. If you've got symptoms of the virus, don't come to church. I know this sounds weird. It feels weird for a pastor to tell anybody not to come to church, but we're going to get through this thing. We're turning the corner. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. But in the meantime, right now, we're trying to have a service in the middle of a little bit of an uptick right now. We know we're dealing with in our community. We're going to have a service. We're going to wear our masks. We're going to social distance. We're going to dismiss you by rows. We're going to do all the things we've been doing and be very careful. But we're going to come and we're going to have a great time in the Lord. And then we're going to take at least 2 weeks off for the Christmas season, which means the weekend after Christmas and the following weekend when families are gathering, people are getting together, and we know just historically that's when we see a surge, and so we got to get through this, but we're going to get a service in this weekend, Lord willing. Now, keep answering your phones, watch your texts, watch Facebook in case that would change. If we had some kind of an outbreak and many people in the church came down with COVID or whatever, we might change our plan. But right now, that's our plan, to have in-person service. We know some of you are sick right now, dealing with COVID in your bodies, and you're convalescing and healing. And we're praying for you. We are lifting you up in prayer. I also want to say, you do not have to wait on us to call you. Call us. If you need prayer, you need to talk to somebody, whatever you need, we are here for you. I'm here. The ministry team is here, and we want to serve you. We have not forgotten you. We love you, and we're praying for you, and it won't be long. We're going to be back in here, all of us in here at the same time, packing the house out, talking about building our new church somewhere. We're going to get there. We've got to turn this corner first. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Sunday at 10 a.m. We will be live streaming both services Sunday, so we'll see you. If you can't be here in person, we'll see you on live stream. God bless.